Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. In honor of our July 4th Day of Independence, here's ART's recreation of Young Mr. Lincoln. We take you back to Springfield, Illinois, with Chuck Royalty as Abe Lincoln.
American Radio Theater presents great scenes from great plays with your host, Dan Schindler, and starring tonight, Mr. Chuck Royalty in Young Mr. Lincoln. On behalf of the families of the Protestant Episcopal Church in your community and the Episcopal Actors Guild, we welcome you to another half hour of great scenes from great plays, transcribed by famous artists of the stage, screen, and radio. And now, your host, the distinguished actor and manager, Mr. Dan Schindler.
Thank you, and good evening. Our play tonight is memorable for its portrayal of one of our greatest men in his youth. It's called Young Mr. Lincoln. Now, in our story, Abraham Lincoln is already well known out in Illinois, but he has not yet cast his long shadow across our land. He's just Young Lincoln. And we deal with just one episode in his life, an episode which is an inspiring illustration of his greatness.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schindler. You know, we sort of always think of Lincoln as a sorrowful man of history. We forget about Abe, the young fellow full of sass and country humor from homely roots. Downright plain, for one thing, with a kind of twinkling honesty, laced with a thread of melancholy and already that sense of justice burning inside him. That's what this story shows. That's the Springfield Lincoln that came to be the world's Lincoln.
Yes, Chuck, our play shows the greatness born of humility. So let us raise the curtain now on Young Mr. Lincoln, performed by American Radio Theater and adapted for radio from the famous motion picture by John Ford. The heart of Springfield in Illinois back in America's youngish days is like most small towns of the time, a public square formed by a courthouse, church, store, tavern, bank, and blacksmithy. Plain-clad people walk the wooden sidewalks. The gentry and smart characters ride the dirt roads. But the young man who comes riding in on a borrowed pony is quite unlike most people, so much so that he's quickly recognized even in the state capitol.
Hey, Abe, what you doing in Springfield?
Going to be a lawyer, friend.
Oh, what do you know about law?
Not enough to hurt me.
An ungainly figure, worn coat, pantaloons too short and hat too high, on a horse too small for legs that are too long. And his face...
See, Abe, I got a watch likely belongs to you.
How's that, friend?
Oh, my pa said I was to keep it till I met somebody uglier than me.
If we're going on looks, friend, I'll take it. But you deserve to keep the chain.
So young Mr. Lincoln came to Springfield to be a lawyer. Behind him, the rail splitting, the love and loss of a girl called Anne Rutledge, the hard study of the law from borrowed books. Ahead, small cases and jokes and tall tales told in the courthouse square.
So I told him, sure, I'm common folks. But the Lord must have loved the common folks. He made so many of them.
Hey, Abe.
Huh?
Hey, look there. Ain't that Steve Douglas promenading there with that lady?
Sure is. Don't he strut, though.
And look at that. She's gone and caught her parasol in the cottonwood tree.
Look at him stretch for it, though.
Well, now, my legs will come in handy there.
Oh, please don't tear it, Mr. Douglas. Do be careful.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'll fetch it down.
What?
There.
Why, thank you, mister.
May I present Mr. Abraham Lincoln, Mr. Lincoln, Miss Mary Todd of Kentucky.
It's a pleasure, ma'am, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you. I've heard some mighty fine things about you.
Well, ma'am, mustn't believe everything Douglas here says about me. We kind of straddle different fences politically.
Lincoln, I hear you've got that murder case on for tomorrow.
That's true. But I don't hear, Mr. Douglas, that your silver tongue is assisting the state's prosecution. If it was, I reckon I wouldn't have a chance.
Oh, balderdash. I had been approached on the matter, but previous commitments...
Of a political nature?
Yes, interfered.
Naturally. Well, ma'am, I'll be leaving now, if you'll allow.
Oh, I hope we meet again, Mr. Lincoln. Won't you call?
Ma'am, it'd take a court order to stop me.
So, that's Abraham Lincoln. My.
Very quaint. You should see him in court.
Oh, yes. What is this case you spoke of?
Oh, a village affair. Two young men held for the murder of a third after a day of carousing. Lincoln is defending the two brothers. The state did request my advice, but in my opinion it was unnecessary. Lincoln can't win.
I should like to go to the trial.
Would you accompany me?
Why, yes, I'd be delighted.
You might see Lincoln make a fool of himself.
I'd like to see him make a case.
Quiet, quiet. Oh, take off your hats and put them jugs away.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Honorable Court of the 8th Judicial District of the State of Illinois is now in session. Judge Herbert A. Ball presiding.
All right, Mr. Clerk, let's get started.
Yes, Your Honor. The State of Illinois versus Matt Clay and Adam Clay brothers, charged with the murder of Henry C., known as Scrub White, on Independence Day last.
Is the state ready, Mr. Felder?
May it please the court, the state is ready. Ready, sir, and waiting.
Mm. And the defense? The defense?
Now, Ed, you being the last of these 12 good men and true, I got a right to challenge as jurors. Mind if I ask you, do you drink?
Well, yeah.
Cuss?
Yeah.
Got a job?
Well, no.
Like to loaf?
Yeah.
Ever tell a lie?
Why, sure.
Then you're just the kind of honest man I'm looking for. Take your place. Mr. Prosecutor, it's your move.
Gentlemen of the jury, the good book says, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not kill. But Matt Clay and Adam Clay did not heed that commandment. Two against one, they came at Scrub White with their deadly weapons. Scrub White, a man who loved life, loved the blue heavens, the soft caress of the wind, the gentleness of a woman's smile. An American. He loved life, but he is dead. And there sit the murderers. I tell you, gentlemen, they ought to be wiped out as a man wipeth a plate.
Friend, I hope you aren't going to charge the state mileage for all the traveling you done up and down in front of the jury.
Your Honor, I would like to call Sheriff Billings. Now, Sheriff, as a duly sworn officer of the law, have you ever seen this knife before?
Yes, sir. It's the knife those boys killed Scrub with.
Sheriff, did you see them do it?
No, but...
Counsel will voice his objections to the court!
Sheriff, what else did you find at the scene?
A jug of liquor, about 3/4 full.
They had been drinking?
As usual, they said.
That's all. Your witness, Mr. Lincoln.
Sheriff, where's that jug now?
In my jail.
Any left?
Well, some.
How much?
Oh, about 1/4.
Who drank the rest?
Well, you see...
That's all.
Your Honor, I submit that in attempting to discredit the witness, an officer of the law, my worthy colleague, is not only casting discredit upon the state, but in doing so is departing from the merits of the case itself. I object.
Sustained. Mr. Lincoln, I'll ask you to confine your remarks to this case. Go ahead, gentlemen.
The trial goes on. Lincoln makes his few small points, but the trend of the trial is clear. You can see the fear in the eyes of the Clay family in the gallery. The state has a strong case. And so that night, after adjournment, young Mr. Lincoln rides out into the country to visit the mother of his two clients.
You know, Mother Clay, people used to say I could sink an axe deeper than anybody they ever did see. Reckon I still don't do too bad for a city feller. I split you some kindling, what with your boys away and all.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I want you to do something for me, but first, you mustn't be afraid of me.
I ain't, sir. It's for my boys that I'm afraid.
I know, but you've got to answer me some questions, and you've got to tell the truth. The good book says to...
I know.
Well, then will you answer me straight?
I'll try.
All right, then. Mrs. Clay, which one of your boys killed Scrub White? You got to tell me. Was it Adam? Was it Matt, then? Tell me. I'm your lawyer. You can trust me.
I can't tell you. I just can't.
I don't want to scare you, ma'am, but I've got a fight on my hands. I've got to know what I'm doing. I've got to know. Whose knife was it then? Adam's?
Or... I can't. I trust you, sir, but I can't tell.
Why? Why not?
Because it'd be like choosing between them to live or die.
But what made them both say they'd done it?
Well, Matt said it because he's the oldest, and Adam, he said it because Matt's got a wife and baby, I reckon. Mr. Lincoln, I'd like to help you, but I can't choose between my boys.
Well, just one more thing, then. Could I stretch out here inside in front of your hearth and do some work?
Work?
Writing. Sort of note down some ideas about the trial. Try to figure things out. Need some paper, if you got it.
Oh, paper. Well, we don't have none. But could you use this, maybe?
Reckon I could. But, ma'am, I hate to take your almanac.
Abe Lincoln.
Right here. What's the trouble?
Down at the jail. There's a mob yelling for blood. They're out to hang the Clay boys.
You'll have to excuse me, Mrs. Clay. I'd better get right down there. Hold on, you men. Hold on now. Listen to me.
Get out of my way.
Run him down.
Oh, you get off them steps.
We got nothing against you, Lincoln, but get out of the way.
Which of you is big enough to make me? Well, that's better. Now, just put that timber down.
I ain't nobody scared of you. Go get him, men.
Well, Buck, I thought I'd find that big mouth of yours here telling others what to do.
Now get off there, Lincoln, or we'll give it to you, too.
Well, now, this is the first time I ever heard of some of you trying to break into jail. Now, boys, all joking aside, let's look at this matter from my side. You all know I'm a fresh lawyer trying to get ahead. What are you trying to do? Do me out of my first client?
Go ahead, Abe.
Well, it's more than that, too. I can get other clients, I hope. But hanging these two without even the pomp and show of law, what, that'd be a little permanent for them. Trouble is, when you start taking the law into your own hands, you're just as apt, in the confusion and fun, to hang somebody who's not a murderer as somebody who is. It can get so a fellow can't pass a tree or look at a rope without feeling uneasy.
He's talking sense.
We can all sort of lose our heads times like this and do things we'd be mighty ashamed to do by ourselves. Why, take Jeremiah Carter yonder. There's not a finer, more God-fearing man in Springfield. Jeremiah, I wouldn't be surprised if you were to go right home now, take down a certain book, and look into it. Maybe you'll just happen to hit on these words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's all I've got to say, friends. Good night. Reckon I'll see you all tomorrow at the trial.
Mr. Felder, you may resume for the state.
Your Honor, I should like to recall my witness, J. Palmer Cass. Mr. Cass? Mr. Cass, just what did you and Scrub White do the day of his murder?
Objection.
Sustained.
The day of the occurrence.
Well, after the big parade, Scrub and me had a little argument, and he went off by himself. The next thing I knew, I heard shouting, and I run as fast as I could. When I got there, Scrub was laying on the ground, and these two fellas were standing over him.
Where was the knife?
Why, on the ground between them.
Your witness, Mr. Lincoln.
Brother Cass, what was this argument about between you and the late Scrub?
I'd rather not say.
I'd rather you did say.
Well, if you gotta know, it was politics.
Well, that's something new to argue about.
Well, I said I figured you had more sense in politics than Steve Douglas. And Scrub said you had no more sense than a hen in a duck pond. Maybe he was right.
You see, Miss Todd, Lincoln is quite out of his depth.
Yes, Mr. Douglas, I'm afraid that he may be.
Your Honor, I would like to call an unscheduled witness. May it please the court, the state desires to call at this time an eyewitness, Mrs. Abigail Clay.
Mrs. Abigail Clay?
What does he expect to gain by calling her?
Mrs. Abigail Clay. Abigail Clay.
Do I have to go?
Reckon so. Reckon there isn't anything I can do about it.
Take the stand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Say, I do.
I do.
You are the mother of Adam and Matt Clay here?
Yes, sir.
You love your boys, don't you, Mrs. Clay?
Oh, yes, sir.
You'd like to save their lives, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm sure you would. Now, you were present the night Scrub White was killed.
I seen him fighting.
Now, don't be afraid of me. I have no desire to see you lose your two only sons. No man could wish that less. So, Mrs. Clay, on behalf of the state of Illinois, on behalf of the people, I offer you the life of one of your sons. Provided you tell me which of your boys stabbed and killed Scrub White.
Now, don't prompt her, Mr. Lincoln. You let her answer.
I can't.
Mrs. Clay, don't you know that under the law, both your boys are equally guilty of murder, that they may both be hanged?
I won't tell you. You can't make me tell.
Don't you understand? I'm offering you the life of one son. Take it and tell us which one killed Scrub.
No. No. No.
Don't you know that this court can make you answer? That you can be sent to jail yourself? That by your mistaken affection, you're deliberately sending both boys to the gallows. Don't you know, Abigail Clay,
that's that enough of that.
Your Honor, I object.
Your Honor, I protest against the prosecution's attempt to force this woman to decide which of her sons shall live and which die. In her eyes, those boys hold equal place.
Your Honor, the law...
I may not know much of the law, Mr. Felder, but I do know what's right and what's wrong. And I know that what you're doing, what you're asking, is wrong. Your Honor, look at this woman. A plain, ordinary country woman who can't even write her own name. But has she no feelings? No heart?
Your Honor, please.
Oh, Mr. Lincoln.
Gentlemen of the jury, I've seen Mrs. Abigail Clay exactly 3 times in my life. But I know everything there is to know about her, and so do you. We've all seen women like her, hundreds working in the fields, working in the kitchens, nursing sick and helpless children. And I tell you that such a woman will never answer the question that's been put to her here. It will take a higher court than man can summon to force her to do that, and a higher justice to judge her. Mrs. Clay, I'd rather see both your sons taken from you than see you break your heart by saving one at the expense of the other. So don't, Mrs. Clay. Don't you tell them.
May it please the court, the state wishes to spare the jury any more such harrowing outbursts. And no doubt Mr. Lincoln will be glad to hear that Mrs. Clay was not the only eyewitness to the murder of Scrub White. Recall Palmer Cass to the stand. Very simply now, Mr. Cass, where were you at the time Scrub White was killed?
Well, 100 yards away, I reckon.
You saw the killing with your own eyes?
Yes, sir, I saw it.
Will you tell us how you happened to see so clearly from that distance at 11 o'clock at night?
Well, it was moon bright.
I see. Moon bright. The moon was full.
Sure was. Bright as day.
Therefore, you could clearly see which boy pulled the knife?
Yes, sir.
The defendants will stand up. Now tell us, Mr. Cass, which of the defendants did you see stab and kill Scrub White?
That one, the big one, Adam.
Quiet, all you.
Your Honor, the state rests its case. Mr. Lincoln, he is your witness, if there is anything you can think to ask him.
Oh, I reckon I'll think of something. J. Palmer Cass. What's the J stand for?
John.
So, anybody ever call you Jack?
Yeah.
Well, then, if it's all the same to you, I'll just call you Jackass.
I just got that. Good one, Lincoln. Get on with it.
Cass, can you read?
Why, sure.
Well, that's good. But first, you're sure it was Adam Clay you saw kill Scrub White?
That's what I said.
And you stick to that?
Yep.
You could see so well because it was moon bright.
Moon bright it was.
Of course, if it hadn't been moon bright, you couldn't have seen 100 yards, could you?
Of course not.
Miss Todd, your Mr. Lincoln is hanging his own clients.
Mr. Douglas, what is he driving at? I think I may have to leave.
And you're telling us all this because you want to save one of the defendants.
Sure.
You can step down.
Oh, Cass,
before you leave, I have one more little question.
Huh?
Just what did you have against Scrub White?
Nothing.
What did you kill him for, then?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. You said you could read. Take a look at this. This page in the Farmer's Almanac, the line I've got marked with a pencil, just read that line, J. Palmer Cass. Read it clear and strong to the court.
This here?
That there. Read it. Right from the almanac.
I don't hanker to, but on the evening of July 4th...
The night of the killing, that is. Go on, read.
The moon will be in its first quarter. It will set at 10:21.
40 minutes before the killing. The murder, by your own testimony, took place after 11. So it couldn't have been moon bright, could it? You couldn't have seen it, could you? You didn't see it, did you? Did you? No, you lied. You weren't trying to save anybody's neck but your own, Cass, were you?
No, no.
Why did you lie?
No, I didn't.
You did, and I'll tell you why. That argument you had wasn't over politics, me and Douglas. Everybody knows what you and Scrub always argued about. It was liquor and women and money.
Oh, no, sir. No, you're wrong, sir. It wasn't
I'll
nothing.
I'll tell you.
It was a friendly fight.
What you did...
He was my friend.
You two'd been in a row. Then you saw this other fight. You saw Scrub fall, and you ran over, and he was still living.
No, I don't remember. I was drinking. I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing.
Then may God have mercy on your soul, Cass, because when you bent over, you saw the knife Matt dropped, a knife he had used in self-defense. You picked it up, and you stabbed Scrub in the back and killed him.
No. I don't remember.
These two boys, Matt and Adam, each knew he didn't do it, and each thought the other did. And that's why each confessed. And their mother couldn't say, because she didn't want to hang them both. They were helpless because you killed him. You lied, and your own lie tripped you up. Now, deny you did. Now, can you? Answer me.
No. No, I didn't mean to kill him.
You didn't mean to, but you did. No more questions, Your Honor. Your witness, Mr. Prosecutor.
Mr. Lincoln, sir?
That's all right, Mrs. Clay. It's going to be all right now.
We ain't got much, but after all you done for us, why, I want you to have this.
Now, ma'am, there's no call for that. You know my mother, Nancy Hanks, be just about your age if she was alive. Got an idea she'd be a whole lot like you, too.
Oh, Mr. Lincoln, now you take this.
Why, then, thank you, Mrs. Clay, ma'am. Hope all my clients pay off as fast.
Mr. Lincoln.
Well, howdy, Steve.
My congratulations.
Why, thank you, Mr. Douglas.
And mine, Mr. Lincoln.
Why, Miss Todd, you've been here all this long while.
Oh, Mr. Lincoln, I am so glad you won.
Very masterly, Lincoln. Very well handled. I've made some remarks about you in the past that I now publicly retract.
Well, Steve, I don't reckon either one of us better underrate the other from here on out.
I imagine not.
Mr. Douglas, might I speak to Mr. Lincoln?
Why, yes, yes, of course.
Privately?
Well, I bid you good day.
Mr. Lincoln.
Ma'am?
Mr. Lincoln, I saw it all, and I think, well, I'll just say thank you, Mr. Lincoln.
Why, thank you, ma'am.
Would you care to accompany me home?
I'd be proud to someday, ma'am. Right now, I feel like I might saddle up. Not going far, just need to go get the smell of the country in my nose. Good day, Miss Todd.
Good day, Mr. Lincoln. Not going far? I think you'll go far, Mr. Lincoln. Very far indeed.
In tonight's powerful drama, young Abraham Lincoln's resourcefulness changed an almost certain defeat into a triumph that saved the lives of two innocent men and brought a murderer to justice. Throughout his entire life, Lincoln's resourcefulness often enabled him to do good he knew in his heart ought to be done. That determined resourcefulness, along with the love of the truth, courage, deep sympathy for people, and a firm foundation of his faith in God, enabled him to do much in making a better world, as he constantly made himself a better man. What can each of us do right now to make ourselves better individuals and thus help in building a better world? One answer is to give freely of our hearts and our times to an institution that can help save the world. If you're already a member, you know how much the church has done to help you build a stronger life, to find the warmth of neighbors. If you're not a member, we urge you to be resourceful now and find out for yourself just how much church membership can do for you. You are always welcome at your nearest Episcopal church, and its clergy is eager to explain to you how it offers a faith to live by in these trying times. That will be a resourceful first step toward building a better world by making yourself a better person.
This is Dan Schindler, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank our guests, including you, Chuck Royalty, for a sterling performance. Next week, friends, it will be Christmas Eve. In the significant spirit of the evening, we'll have the privilege of presenting two distinguished stars in an inspiring program you'll long remember, The Story of the Nativity in Christmas Lessons and Carols. Our guests will be Miss Gladys Swarthout and Mr. Lawrence Tibbett. I hope you will join us.
This episode of Great Scenes from Great Plays was originally broadcast on December 17, 1948. The script was by Alan Sloan from a screenplay by Lamar Trotty. For today's recreation for American Radio Theater, you heard Joy Jackson as Mary Todd, Greg Porter as Lawyer Felder, Chuck Royalty as Abraham Lincoln, Dan Schindler as the host, and J. Palmer Cass, Beth Schlansky as Mrs. Clay, Kim Turner as Stephen Douglas, Dean Moody was the judge and Ed, and Dave Leese was the sheriff. Additional support by Dean Moody, Dave Leese, and the rest of the cast. Music was by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com, sound effects by Marilyn Wilt. Young Mr. Lincoln was adapted, produced, and directed by Joy Jackson. Back in 1948, this was the Mutual Broadcasting System. I'm your announcer, Pat McNally, who you also heard as a clerk. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand presents
Cab Calloway and his Heidi Ho Music, coming to you from the Cafe Zanzibar in New York City. Yes, indeed, the familiar theme, Minnie the Moocher, again introduces Cab Calloway and his orchestra, and a half hour of solid in the groove music, which begins right now with a Cab Calloway original, Frantic on the Atlantic. Darling, when I say I love you, believe me, the words are true. Cab Calloway now to sing his first song of the evening for us. Here's a popular If This Isn't Love.
this isn't love. What is this thrill I feel? If this isn't love, what makes it seem so real? When all is said, I'm burning, never breathe. If this isn't love, please never let me weep. If this isn't love, please never let me weep. What good are my dreams if they're not worth thinking of? Darling, you know this is morning never break. If this isn't love, please never let me wait. What good are my dreams if they're not worth dreaming of? Darling,
coming up now, a solid instrumental arrangement by Cab Calloway and the orchestra. Here they are with... Cab Calloway and the orchestra. Comes time now for Cab's popular vocalist to take over, Dorothy Salter. Here she is singing, "I'm Walking with My Honey." I'd met my once for all. Yes, it's Cab Calloway, and all at once, that Cab Calloway music.
I knew I met my once for all. For I found when I heard you how lonely, that my heart somehow was answering your call. I thought I'd met my someone, but I soon found that someone never would do. Thought I'd never would fall, I'd give once or twice. Never I had met my love, but I soon found that someone never would do. Thought I'd never would fall. I'd give the number hoping when all at once my once for wrong was you.
Program dance music by Cab Calloway and the orchestra would be complete without the blues. And here's Cab playing the granddaddy of them all, Cab Calloway and the orchestra and the St. Louis Blues. Thank you. Coming around the bend with the throttle wide open. That's Heidi Ho music by Cab Calloway and the orchestra. And now it's time to hear from Dorothy Salter again. Lovely Dorothy Salter singing, I'm Gonna Love That Guy.
I've got for today. Be sure to stop by for the Old Time Radio Marathon on August 19th at radioadofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Old Time Radio Room. That's at 9 a.m. Pacific to 9 p.m. Pacific. 12 hours of Old Time Radio. And we give out prizes. Please stop by ART's website, www.americanradiotheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time!